following is brought to you by Canyon Ridge Church at Tacoma. For additional podcasts or information on service times and upcoming events, please visit us online at www.explorecrc.com.
Cool. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. I'm excited. We are continuing our series Connect Four. For those of you who are new here, my name is Josh. I'm a pastor here at Canyon Ridge, and I usually give the talks here. But I'm excited to continue this series Connect Four. We've been talking about the four relationships that we need to connect with as a church in order for us to be the church that God has called us to be. And so we looked at connecting to Jesus, we looked at connecting as a church, and then we looked last week at connecting with our God-given potential. This week, I want to look at us connecting with our wider community, because we want to be a church that doesn't just think about ourselves. So many people these days think about themselves. We have a consumer-oriented society, and so I thought I'd give us a little bit of a short history lesson on how I believe that our consumerist society, the modern version of it today, began. So a little bit of a lecture, but hopefully it'll be good. Now, if you think back to the early 1970s, there was a nationwide organization that had a slogan that I think really captures the pre-modern era of consumerist society. And some of you might recognize the slogan when I say it, but there was a slogan that if you walked into this establishment, you knew what you were going to get. You would get, and maybe you can finish it with me for those of you for older generations, wiser generations who know this. You would get 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, pickles, onions, lettuce, cheese, tomato on a sesame seeds bun. Some of you are feeling closer to God right now because you're recognizing, yes, this was my generation. And so you get 2 all-beef patties, special sauce on pickles, lettuce, onions, tomatoes on a sesame seed bun. Did I get it right? Yes? Okay, nope, I missed something. I'll have to go back and study harder on my history lesson. But then there was another organization that came along, and they came in and they started the modern day society of our consumerist society. And they came in, they were named Burger King, and they came in and they said, have it your way. You could now all of a sudden come in and you wouldn't just receive 2 all-beef patties and all of those other things. You got to choose and decide what you wanted to see happen. And so you could come in and now the customer was king. And so they would say, you know, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. And so they would said, have it your way. You wanted a certain way. You wanted a certain style. We'll do it whatever you want. And now over 40 years later, the customer is king. And we have a new slogan, I would say, that really captures the modern day era. There's an app for that, right? You can have the world's information in your pocket. You can order anything you want right at your fingertips. And this consumer mentality, unfortunately, carries over into the church. And so we see people saying, oh, I'm just church shopping. I'm just church shopping today. And the very language is consumer-oriented. And we have people saying, you know, I just can't find a good church, or I just can't find a church for us, or I can't find a church that meets our needs. This is, in essence, a consumer-oriented mentality. But Jesus was not fixated on what he could get. Jesus was not fixated on what he could consume. He was fixated on how he could contribute to others. And so Jesus, when he's after this passage, after John 4, actually, there's the woman at the well, and he just had this thing. He's been working really hard, and his disciples come up to him, and they say, Jesus, aren't you hungry? Jesus, don't you want to consume something? And Jesus responds like this. He says in John 4:34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, what nourished Jesus was not that he would consume, but that he would contribute. And so I want to say something, and I maybe even ask you all to repeat it after I say it, that we as a church are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us, but we are the church, and we exist for the world. Maybe it's up there so you guys can read it with me. Let's all say it together. We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us, but we are the church, and we exist for the world. That's who we are. And I want to look at a passage that goes a little bit deeper in this in Mark 2, and I'll just read it. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." As a church, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. To reach people no one is reaching, we will do things no one is doing. To reach people no one is reaching, we will do things no one is doing, because we are called to reach people for Jesus. And so I want to focus on three big thoughts today. And the first of those is that we have to show God's love in practical ways. We have to show God's love in practical ways. There was these guys that carried their friend to Jesus. They could have gone and they could have said, "Hey, you know, I see you're struggling. You know, I heard Jesus is in town. He can heal people. So, hey, go get a ticket, go get a cab, figure out how to get there. We'll see you there." They didn't say that. They picked this man up and they carried him to church. And we don't invite people to church. We bring people to church. We want to say, "Hey, want to come to church with me? I'd love to come pick you up and bring you to church." Why? Because we want to care about people. We want to show that we care about people by showing God's love in practical ways, by bringing people to church. And so we want to focus on that. Unfortunately, today, so many people are doing the Christian equivalent of a drive-by shooting. You know, you see drive-by witnessing. The Christians kind of drive by and roll down their window and they say, "Hey, Jesus loves you, come to my church." And that's the nice ones. The mean ones will say, "Hey, you're going to hell, come to church or burn." And then we get the other people who are like the football people who have like John 3:16 tattooed on their stomach or written across their stomach, and they're like pulling up their shirts like, "Woo, John 3:16. It's like, great, you just thought you witnessed. A for effort, D for impact. You know, we just don't see that people are there and really trying to care for other people. But we as a church, we've got to bring people to church. We've got to pick people up and bring them to church because we want to show that we care about people. Sometimes we are too concerned about doing our church thing and not concerned enough about the people that are outside these four walls and trying to reach those people. And so, you know, the guys were trying to bring this man, this who needed Jesus, into church, but he couldn't get in because of the crowd. The crowd had their backs turned. And I want to say sometimes we're kind of like that. We're worshiping Jesus, and the worship is really good today. I really like worship today. And Jesus is speaking. He's really good. You know, say, take a picture of me, hashtag hanging with Jesus, post it on Instagram. And, you know, and so our back is turned to the world, and that's not our hearts. Our hearts aren't saying that. We love people. We want to, our minds are saying we want to serve people. But what our actions sometimes say is we don't care about you. We don't care about the people outside. But the Jesus that saved us is the same Jesus that wants to save other people. And we want to go and serve and show other people God's love. And so we want to get involved. And so we don't just say, "Hey, I'll pray for you." My uncle, which he's kind of, he just married my aunt a few years ago, so it's kind of weird to say that. But ultimately, he's in the hospital right now. He has a ton of cancer going through him. I don't really know him that well, but I know he's a good man, and I know he's been good to my aunt. And it's difficult to see him like that. But what's even more difficult is that he has no hope. He's facing death. He's right on death's door, but he won't listen to Jesus. My parents went down there to try to go talk to them and just, looking for a chance to open up to them about Jesus. But here's what happened. My uncle, he has a sister who's married to a pastor. And she says, oh, I'll pray for you. But whenever he needs help, she's always too busy for him. This last week, it's kind of embarrassing admitting this, actually, but I was trying to go to the store, pulled off, went to the store, and came back, and I was with my daughter, and I turned down a street, and it was the wrong street, so I went to go turn around, wasn't wearing my glasses, and it was dark, and there was, like, no lights on the street, and so I turned around, pulled, like, kind of did the three-point turned, and my wheels went off into a ditch. My car, I literally drove into a ditch, and so I was there stuck, not able to do anything. I wasn't able to get myself out, and there was a bunch of people that just passed me. It just kept passing me. And so I was like, and they stopped, and someone said, hey, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And then so they said, okay, great. And they kept driving. And so, you know, it was nice at least to stop and ask me. But one guy came, and he had this huge, humongous truck, and he jumped out, and he had like a cigarette hanging from his mouth. And, you know, he's like cussing and saying things. But the guy got down out of his truck, got into my car. He had a big truck. He easily able to pull my car out. And he witnessed to me, I don't know about what, but he witnessed to me about something, about his love and about his values, because he was willing to stop and help me. Are we willing to stop and help people that are in need? Are we too busy, like in the story of the prodigal son, trying to go about our own things? Because you cannot fully experience God's love until you actually give it away. 1 John 4 talks about this, that if there's the love of God in us, we should show that love. Are we showing that love to other people? You know, there's a couple in our church, Nick and Tina, why don't you guys start coming up here, who are showing God's love regularly. And it's kind of, and Dave too, Dave wants to come up. So it's amazing that they are coming and they are showing God's love. And if we can get a mic up here too, that'd be great. But they are coming, and every week, oh, they've got a mic, amazing. Every week they are every month they are serving at the Tacoma Rescue Mission. And they are making a difference, and we as a church support them in this. Sometimes we send people with them, but people with them enough. And so I wanted to bring them up here to just make their ministry more known to our church, so if people wanted to get involved, then they would be able to do that. But this was a bit of a journey for you guys, and tell me a little bit about how you heard about the Tacoma Rescue Mission and how, it's good. I think it's good. How you heard about the rescue mission, the opportunity to serve there, and kind of how you felt about it at the point.
Well, it started out, we were going with another church and serving down there. Hello? Yeah. We were serving with another church, and then it lit us on fire. It was great. Man, it was something that we were doing, and it made me feel good. It made Tina feel good. It made Dave feel good. But it kind of evolved to something more where I was like, oh, this is not about me feeling good. This is about sharing Christ's love with others. So eventually it morphed into, we need to do this as a church. And so we kind of took a leap of faith and decided we're going to do it. And we're going to get volunteers, and we'll pay for it out of our pockets to start with and see what God does. And, man, he was faithful, and he was fruitful to us, and he made it all fall together.
Yeah.
So that's how it started.
Yeah. So backing up a little bit, but there was a point really where you guys were unsure about it.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
There's two elements to it. One of it was, are we going to be able to get it together financially and with the people, and then with an attitude? So, like, last night we did about 320 meals. And maybe 20 people would say thank you, or maybe 20 people showed that they were thankful for that. And so that can be kind of a letdown when you see 320 people go through, and some of them are cranky, and some of them don't care, and some of them have a bad attitude. But that's something to overcome, that, okay, that's not for us to judge. That's just for us to serve. And God has everybody's name in the book of life. So no matter what we feel, we have to come over that attitude and just serve and show Christ's love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So so there was a point where you guys were thinking about not doing this, but then you prompted you to kept doing it. What, talk a little bit about that. What
Yeah. Well, I mean, really it was, this sounds kind of corny, but it's not corny. God gave me a specific verse in the Bible, which I never knew was there. I never knew it existed. And I was like, where'd this come from? And it's weird. God just dropped that nugget right there, and he said, here's how you do this. And it was so clear. It was one of those moments where it's just like, oh, okay, stupid. So for me, he showed me it was Isaiah 58:10 that fast, take the money that you would use for that meal and donate it. So if I spend $5 on lunch, it's five meals for at the mission. We're under a dollar a meal. So, and he just, that was it. Oh, okay, well, that's easy. So that's $5, that's five meals. And then it kind of grew from that. So if someone didn't do their Starbucks, someone is $8 Starbucks, there's eight meals. So that's kind of what really got us going.
Cool.
On, so how it happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just talk about what is the impact that it's made in your life, you serving?
Discipline and discipline to God.
It's very humbling, I would say. You know, you go down there and you see these people that are less fortunate brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and they got it rough. You know, especially this time of year when you got cold weather and raining. And you go home, well, I go home, and it's like I live in a mansion compared to what these people have.
Yeah.
So there's definitely my time, you know, that I could give to go down and help serve and help Nick. And there was a time that I didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
and I prayed to God, and I said, look, God, I don't want to do this. And he goes, it's not about you. It's about them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
very
good.
Powerful,
that's good. Thank you, Dave.
You need that.
Well, cool. That's so good to hear. Tell us about how can we get involved? Yeah.
Well, there's many ways to get involved. There's many needs there, and not just financially, but your time, of course, and prayers are good. But after service, I will be out in the lobby, and I do have information and sign-up sheets if anyone's interested. And I do want to encourage, you know, like Dave said, you know, there was a time where I don't want to do this, but if it's not on your radar and never has been, I just want to encourage everyone to go one time, because even though you're helping others, there is something in it for you too. Like Nick said, we are definitely, I was served a big slice of humble pie. So there is, you know, in the world's eyes, we may not have much, but in the eyes of the people that come through there, we've got more than enough.
Yeah.
So, and we need to share it. So,
good. Good. Yeah.
A plate of food and a smile goes a long way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate that. Can I just pray for you before you go? Yeah. God, thank you for Nick and Tina and Dave and for their families and for all that they're doing. God, I pray that you'd continue to grow this ministry, that you continue to support it, Lord, that you continue to see people come. And we wouldn't be just need the affirmation of other people when we're doing this, God, but we would know that we would ultimately reach for your affirmation, knowing that that you are the one that we're trying to impress. But God, we know that it's already been impressed on the cross and that we're already been approved. So Jesus, I pray that you would continue to lift this up and help us to serve more people. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, guys. There was another person I wanted to just have them stand up, but she wasn't able to be here. Tina Jacobs is there serving, putting together meals for us every morning, putting out food. So another great person that's serving, that doesn't look for any affirmation from people, that's just kind of serving behind the scenes. We've got so many other people. Andrew does the announcements every week. He does a great job. So just a lot of people making this work, and we really just appreciate that. That people would be there, because as a church, we want to get involved and we want to reach other people. We don't want to be a church that just kind of stands back and does our own thing, but we want to be a church that reaches people, because we will do anything short of sin to reach people, even break the rules. I know some people out there are kind of rule followers, like they like to follow the rules. I've got to admit, I've got to confess a little bit this morning that I wasn't always a rule follower. Sometimes I did break the rules. I've got to confess that I didn't always wait 30 minutes to go swimming after I ate. And there were some times that I didn't wear my seatbelt, and my mom was my seatbelt, and she could just, boom, put her hand out there and save me, and it was like stone cold stop, right? Or sometimes I ran with scissors and a lollipop in my mouth. Sometimes I sniffed a lot of magic markers, probably more than you can count, and some of you are like, that would really explain a lot. And so, I didn't always follow the rules. And when we see in this story that there are some guys who are willing to break the rules because they see that there's something bigger. They can't get this guy to Jesus, and so because of this crowd. And so they're sitting there. There's four guys, and they're sitting there. What are we going to do? And one guy says, hey, let's go on the roof. And he's creative. And so they're like, okay, let's go on the roof. And I did a little bit of research on what roofs would have been made of during this time. And there would have been wood beams that were 3 feet apart. And then there would have been mud, thatch, and manure. Yes, that's right, manure. Manure would have been in the roofs. And so they would have grown grass. And so grass would have grown up and would have made a nice soft place if somebody wanted to go sleep up there. And so these guys were up on this roof. They got up on this roof. I don't know how they got on the roof. Maybe they climbed on each other's backs or something. I imagine two guys standing on the roof and two guys below, right? Because this guy is paralyzed. So they're like pushing him up, and the other guys are like pulling him up by his arms or by his neck or something. I don't know. They're trying to get this guy up onto the roof. And so all of them get up onto the roof, and then they're like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this roof? And one of these guys is like the Boy Scout. He's like your Swiss Army friend who has like everything that you need right at the moment you need it. And so he's like, I've got a shovel. And so they're digging right through this roof, and the owner's looking up inside and is like, I don't think insurance is going to cover this. And so they're digging through this roof, creating this hole, right? And so they've got this guy, and there's four guys. They're like, okay, how are we going to let him down now? And they're like, so there's this mat, and they said that they're going to let him down by the mat. So they're like, hey, Bob, you grab one corner. Larry, you grab another corner. Jake, you grab another corner. I got the fourth corner. And they're like, okay, guys, lower him down. And they're like, okay, lower, lower. Okay, this is as good as it's going to get, boys. How much is left? About 6 feet. Well, we're not going to reparalyze him, so drop. Okay. And thud, this guy hits the ground. Breaks up the worship service. Jesus is talking, and Jesus sees them, and he sees their faith, because he saw that these guys were willing to break the rules and be creative to reach their friend for Jesus. And that's what I think we as a church, we are called to break the rules and be creative so that we can reach people for Jesus. And this Halloween thing that we're doing, to me, that says that this is what we're doing. We are being creative. There's not other churches that are doing this. But we see that there is a divide between us and our community. So we want to get out into our community. And so many churches are doing their harvest party, which is great, and trying to bring people to Jesus or bring them to the church. But they're not getting out and going to where the people are. You know, Jesus wanted to reach sinners. Just after this passage that we're reading today, Jesus goes to the house of a tax collector, and he eats with a bunch of tax collectors. And the Pharisees, who are kind of the religious people of the day, they see him, and they say, ooh, Jesus, you're eating with sinners. Why are you eating with sinners? You know, that's probably how they kind of said it, like, ew, sinners. But Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's what he was called. He was called a friend of sinners. Jesus is with us. He's God with us. And he's with us as sinners. That's who he's called to be with. And so he was there eating with these sinners. And so we look at Halloween and we say, oh, that's a pagan. Those are sinners that are doing this. And I think Halloween is that one holiday per year where people actually show their true colors. They're wearing these masks and all these things, but I think that's really reflecting what's inside of them. And so we say, oh, that's a pagan holiday. I can't be a part of a pagan holiday. But guess what? Christmas has pagan elements to it. Started with Saturnalia, and there was this crazy Roman holiday, and it picked up some of the elements in there. And all to today, there's all sorts of commercialization that's around Christmas. Easter, same thing. Easter has pagan elements to it as well. The egg, what do you think the egg comes from? It comes from the spring and the idea of rebirth and fertility. The egg is not a Christian symbol. The egg is a pagan symbol as part of Easter. There's pagan elements. But here's what I would say Jesus would say with these things. We're not going to be a part of the vampire, the zombie, the crazy, scary, spooky stuff. That's not who we're going to be a part of. But what we are going to be a part of is we are going to be a part of loving people. That's what Jesus has called us, to love sinners and be where they are. And we are sinners ourselves. And Jesus came to us. And so we are going to follow that example, and we're going to go to sinners where they are as well. And we're going to reach people right where they are. Because here's what I would say, think Jesus would say to us. What would Jesus say about Halloween? He'd say, yes, all the blood, gory, crazy, spooky, gory stuff, we're not going to be a part of that. But here's the thing. I'm going to take this crazy holiday called Halloween, and if you won't go out to the sinners, then I'll turn it around and I'll make the sinners come to you. And so they're going to knock on your door, or they're going to ring your doorbell. And as Christians, maybe we could take the small candy and we'd like tape some verses to it and throw it in their bag and say, there, now go to church. Or we could instead take the big candy bars, and we could be the house that gets the big candy bars and that everybody wants to go to, because we're showing the love of Jesus and we're reaching people right where they are. That's the kind of church we are called to be. We want to be a church that goes and reaches people in Bradley Lake, that's right by my house. We want to be a church that reaches people at the Tacoma Rescue Mission. We want to be a church that reaches all people at all stages, no matter who they are or what they're doing, because Jesus loves everyone. We want to reach everyone. That's the kind of church that we want to be. And so we've got to stop going to church and start being the church, because we didn't get a small commission. We got a great commission. And so we want to follow Jesus, not only into breaking the rules, but we want to follow Jesus into breaking barriers. We have to be a barrier-breaking church. And in Mark 2, it says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" See, the Pharisees were Jews. They were reading the Bible just like Jesus. They were rabbis just like Jesus. But I think often we find the people that are closer to us, we can get more offended at them because we have a framework to understand them. And so I've found that we're often most critical of the people that are closest to us, because we expect more of them, or we know what to expect of them, and we understand it. And this reminds me of another story that I know of. I had a friend, and this friend once saw a man on a bridge, and he saw this man was about to jump off this bridge. And so he said to the man, he said, "Don't do it, it's not worth it." And this man responded back, "Well, nobody loves me, and my life isn't worth anything." But my friend said, "Well, God loves you. Do you believe in God?" And the man said, "Yes, yes, I do." And so my friend said, "Well, are you Christian? Are you a Muslim? Are you a Jew?" And the man said, "Oh, I'm a Christian." Well, my friend said, "Me too." He said, "What denomination are you?" And the man said, "Well, I'm a Baptist." And the guy said, "Oh, me too. I'm a Baptist." And he said, "Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" And the man said, "Northern Baptist." And my friend said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" And the man said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." And my friend said, "Me too." He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Eastern region?" And the man said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." And my friend said, "Me too." And he said, then my friend said, "Well, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Council of 1912? And the guy said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And then my friend said, "1912? Die, heretic!" And he pushed him off the bridge. See, the closer we can get to people, the more intense our criticism can be of those people, because we understand them more. And so we often are very critical. And there's nowhere that this is seen more today than politics, right? In just about a little over a week week and a half about. We're going to have an election, general election, and I see the Democrats, you know, just putting the Republicans in the worst light they can, and the Republicans putting the Democrats in the worst light they can, and you know, the news covers this, and it's impossible to find a news that's just going to give me the news that doesn't put some kind of propaganda or spin. You know, I watch CNN, and it's one way, and I watch Fox News, and it's the other way, and I just want news. But in the midst of all of this, we can all get caught up in a Democrat or Republican or all of these different divides, and we can get caught up in kind of the race, the racial stereotyping and the racial things that are happening today. And blacks would say whites are one way, and whites would say blacks are another way, and Asians are another way. And we would say the rich would put down the poor, and the poor would put down the rich. And all of this stuff would happen, and there'd be all these stereotypes where we can't understand each other, and there can't be any meaningful dialogue because we're all putting each other as the opposite, and we're all, it's us versus them kind of mentality. But I read in Galatians 3:26 that we are baptized into one identity, into one baptism in Christ. There is no longer slave nor free, or male or female or Greek or Jew. And I would add, there's no longer black or white or all these other things. All of those identities are relativized to our primary identity in Christ. That is the most important identity that we have, that we can rally around who Jesus is. And all of those other distinguishing characteristics, all of those different things can be important, but they're not as important as who we are in Christ Jesus. That there is a baptism that will unite us and bring us together in the midst of that. And so we can walk back into these situations, and now we can have meaningful dialogue, because no longer are we as Christians defining ourselves by all of these other categories, but we're defining ourselves by Jesus. And so we can walk into some of the race wars that are happening and say, hey, how can I bring Jesus into this so we can have some meaningful dialogue? And so we can help people to understand each other, walk into some of the economic conflicts and say, hey, how can I walk into this and bring Jesus into this so we can have some understanding? Because I think there needs to be some understanding. There needs to be some barriers broken down. Dr. King that said that Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour of the week, and it's still true today. I would love to see a church that reflects the kingdom of God, because I believe the kingdom of God is going to be all types of people, and I can't wait to get there, to see all types of people coming together around the mantle of Jesus Christ, and that we can love each other, and that we can come together knowing that our primary identity is in Jesus. That's what I want to see. I want to see a barrier-breaking church that would break down some of these barriers that are in our society today so we can have a meaningful discussion and build real relationships with each other. That's what we want to see, because we know that we are more alike than we are different. We are more alike, and we have a greater enemy. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the spiritual forces of this dark world. That we have a greater enemy that is against us. And with that, we've got to realize that all people are stuck in chains. The enemy has put people in chains of depression, chains of addiction, chains of broken relationships, strongholds that people are stuck in. And as a church, we have got to be passionate about seeing people set free in Jesus, because that's the type of God we serve, that we see a God that sets people free of the things that hold them in bondage. That's what I would love our church to be, that we would be a place where people can come and be accepted no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, that we would love people. And not just here at the church, but we would love people in our community. That we'd reach people knowing that it doesn't matter your skin color, it doesn't matter your economic background, it doesn't matter whatever. God has accepted you in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God first and foremost. Can you pray with me? God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for who you would call us to be as a church, Lord. That we would be a church that everybody is accepted, that we would be a church that would reflect your kingdom, a church with all type people of all types of backgrounds, people of all types of skin colors, people of all types of everything, Lord, that we would all come together around your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for everyone, Lord, that for you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, whoever, no matter what their characteristic, that they would receive eternal life, that they would not perish because of that. God, I pray that we would live this out as a church and continue to follow you in all that we do. In your precious and holy name, God. Amen.